Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 15th of September. A hysterical interplay between Neto and Rudy yesterday to make you all laugh. What happens if Favors and Burks are both right and the first of the Get to Know series? Jonas Jerebko. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm fired up for today's show. This one's going to be really fun for you. You're glad you tuned into this one. Tell a few friends about this one when it's done if you agree with me, and make sure they jump aboard as well, because this has got some funny things that are going to make you laugh that you're going to talk about, and you're going to get to know Jonas Jerebko. It's a good one. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Exciting day. Want to welcome a new sponsor onto the show today, Grip 6 Belts. Gotten to know the Grip 6 belt guys. I'm actually wearing a Grip 6 belt right now, and I'll tell you a little bit more about them as well. It's a neat Utah-based company that's putting together cool things. I'm never have had a belt where I've gotten compliments before. I'm usually just a straightforward belt guy, and I've been wearing Grip 6 ever since I got these two, and I sure enough keep getting compliments. So I'll tell you a little bit more about them coming up. Today's show also brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. Good people over at Murdoch, Blake and the crew, they're doing another fun month where they're having a grand reopening and great deals for you. We'll tell you about both of them coming up on the show. All right, so this week has been great. The guys are back in town. They're doing open gym. And then one thing that our organization does that is just marvelous for us, I mean, it's just makes me let me do my job, is they make the athletes of that are willing to do it, which is all of them, for the most part. I think everybody, they let us sit down with them. They're so generous to me. I get about 15 minutes of time with them. We do some of our production for the season, but I am also then doing the Get to Know series, as well as this year trying to do something a little different. I read both Angela Duckworth's Grit and reread Daniel Coyle's The Talent Code in the off season, and am trying to kind of dig into that concept of, you know, grit is the perseverance and the fight and the passion to be able to be an elite athlete. Talent code is the development of minute skills. Talent code really talks about, for example, you'll hear me talk to Neto and Rudy about it at some point, not today, you're getting Jerebko, but he talks about these soccer players in Brazil who are in kind of a ghetto in a small area. They don't have a soccer field, and they're all the best players in the world, and the reason is because they're developing these minute, acute, deliberate practice that he talks about, playing with smaller balls and playing in these kind of little alleyways instead of a big field, so then when they get out on the big field, they're terrific. The skateboarding, Southern California skateboarding world really blew up, and he talks about how, if you look back at it, the two things were the, wait one second, sorry, real life just checks in here for a second. Hey, love. Sorry, guys. There, real life just jumped in for a second. So in that, he talks about the skateboarding world exploded in Southern California because there was a real estate drought going on, real estate burst of a bubble. So there were all these abandoned pools because they didn't want to have water in them because there was a drought. And then they also didn't have the houses were abandoned as well. So they were skateboarding in the pools, which is a much more difficult than skateboarding out in the parks and those kind of things. And so these guys became elite level. So I try to dig in a little bit with these guys. Some have been better than others. Some of them are going to be a bomb, and all of them are going to be the same. But I thought it was an interesting idea. And, you know, frankly, also I've now,
I'm on my, you know, 9th, 10th year of this, trying to find different ways to be creative with the players. So that's what's coming up on the program. I want to start, though, with I did something fun. So Rudy and Howell traveled together all summer. If you follow their Instagrams, you probably saw that. They went to Brazil together and they went to France together. And I asked each of them about traveling with the other, and it turned into one of the funnier interplays I've had. So let's start with Howell and what he had to say.
What's it like traveling with Rudy?
It's fun. It's kind of stressful sometimes because he want to do all his time. He want to do all whatever like he wants to do. He want to choose all the spots we're going. So we kind of just got to relax and let him decide what we're doing more. When I was in France, when I was in Brazil, I was kind of trying to like tell him where to go, but he still wanted to go like whatever he wanted to go. So, but it's pretty fun, you know. He's a nice guy. I've been hanging out with him for those 2 years that I'm here.
Okay, so then I asked Rudy the exact same thing.
What are travels with Howell like?
You got it organized because you always do everything. I'm kind of the same, but I'm better now. But you do everything at the last moment, and yeah, you got to organize. You know, you got to decide. I got to decide everything because I know that's what he said. He said you got to do what really wants, but I got to decide everything because he don't want to decide. So,
and at this point, I'm actually laughing so hard that I'm kind of falling off the chair we're sitting on, and I'm actually not able to ask Rudy another question. But, I mean, if those aren't just best friends right there, knowing each other that well, hysterical interplay about the two of them. And I have to admit, I couldn't have laughed harder at the idea that Rudy was telling Howell where to go when they were in Brazil. It reminds me of a funny moment. I was dating a woman when I lived in Salt Lake the first time. And so this is a long, long time ago. This is like 1990. And, we went out for dinner. My dad was in town and I think I was driving, and she's telling us how to get there. And my dad starts telling her that there's a quicker way to get to her house. It was like my dad telling her that he knew the better directions than she did to her own house. It's very Rudy Gobert with Howell. By the way, the Howell and Rudy pieces coming up are both just fabulous. Howell was terrific, and Rudy, I mean, both these are the growth mindset concept. Both of them are the perseverance and the grit. Howell talks about, I said, what brings you, one of the questions I'm asking the guys is, so, you know, when you're tired, what gets you back out? Like, you've practiced 11 days in a row and here's number 12. What brings you back out? And Howell said, you know, my dad dreamed of this, my brothers dreamed of this, and I'm the one getting it. And so I go out. That's why. So it was just a really, really cool experience to sit and talk with them. When they've been good, they've been really, really good. Jarebko is terrific coming up here in just a moment. So we'll talk about Faves and Alec here in a moment, but I want to talk to you about Grip 6. So it's grip6.com is where you can find it. It's the only belt with no holes, no belt flap hanging out. They told me about this, and I didn't really get it till they sent it to me. And now I got to say, it's really cool. It's why when you look at them, they've got 900 Amazon reviews and 600 Facebook reviews, and it all works. The materials, the buckle is like an aircraft-grade aluminum, bright dip. It's got all sorts of fun colors. The strap is a durable nylon webbing, but it's just cool. So it's this nylon strap, and you strap it in on the right side, and it goes underneath. And then they have this patented pending lock mechanism that holds it tight. It never slips, and there's no holes. There's no belt flap. Probably good for me because I'm down 15 pounds. Then I'll be up 15 pounds during the season. It's really, really cool. I, as I mentioned, am wearing one right now. If you go to grip6.com and you look at what they have, and you slide, you've got to slide all the way down, and you'll see the one I'm wearing is the most expensive wear. It's a carbon fiber, but it's really cool. You also can kind of piece together the buckle and the strap you want. So I made a brown one for my brown outfits. It's the only belt I've worn since I got these. And I really have been amazed. I like the Stickley. I might have to try that out as well. And the two graphite ones look really cool as well. On those are the buckles, and then you have your strap around it. We'll give you 20% off your final purchase. So if you put in the promo code LOCK20, it'll give you 20% off. If you just buy the simplest one, it's like $35, and then you get 20% off 35, which is, it's like $27. I promise you, just the simplest version, you'll really, really like it. If you're belt guy, and I never have had compliments on my belt until I wore these, then, you know, that's the Ninja belt. Now, then you can scan down and you can do the graphite for the same price I'm talking about. Or I have that carbon fiber dark matter one, and it's super cool. It's what I'm wearing right now. So the goal is literally to produce the best belt ever. Have an unlimited lifetime guarantee on all their products. You can return it any time for any reason in any condition, and they'll get you a new belt or a full refund. Go to grip6.com. The promo code is LOCK20. You'll get 20% off. It's a Utah company made out of Draper. It's a story of a guy in his garage making belts that becomes a Kickstarter that next thing you know has got a really cool belt company, and I want you to check it out. So go to grip6.com. Look at their stuff. If you're kind of an outdoors person, they have a cool conservation series doing as well. A lot of creative, fun. Kids could find something they like there. And I got to tell you, just the mechanism that I talked about early that made no sense to you at all, BJ Minson, who created this, he figured it out. I'm telling you, he figured it out. It didn't make any sense to you, I promise, when I mentioned it to you, but go check it out. I'll take pictures and send them out if you need proof. It's really cool. All right, so in these open gyms, the guys are just playing pickup, right? It's just kind of a organized pickup is the best thing that I would say. In the organized pickup, both Derek Favors and Alec Burks have gone each day I've been there. Yesterday, Alec made two or three plays I've never seen him make before. One of which was they were swinging the ball around the outside. Alec caught it, immediately passed to a rolling Rudy Gobert for a layup. Okay, this isn't NBA defenses. This was late in the day. Guys are tired. Like, I don't want to make a big deal out of it. You know, they're just getting run in, right? They're just trying to get their legs underneath them, and they're just getting run in. But what I saw there was AB making a play before in his head before he got the ball. My number one complaint about AB his entire career is that every time he catches the ball, he has to dribble. He has nowhere he's going. And as one of his teammates once said to me, when he doesn't know where he's going, it's nearly impossible for us to know where we're supposed to go. And I thought it was a very eye-opening comment of how difficult it is for him to play with AB. And yesterday I sat down with AB on Wednesday, so we had spent a bunch of time together for our interview. You'll get to know interview coming with him. I shortened some of the stuff I've done with him before, so his is a little shorter. His is kind of only about the grit and the talent code. And the grit, perseverance coming back from the injury is pretty interesting. And actually, AB was noticeably different. He's a little more talkative. He just felt more comfortable. There was less of he's always been uncomfortable to talk to. There was less of that. The baby's made a difference. There's no question. And I said to him, I was like, how about that pass? And he's like, I told you I'm more mature. So, you know, it's interesting. We haven't talked about AB at all as a part of this rotation, but there are five guards that are going to be battling for time. And if AB's may very well be one of them. And as excited as I am about Donovan, he's going to make a ton of mistakes. He's going to he's a little reckless with just kind of the energy he plays with, as all young kids are. And so, you know, I'm not entirely sure how much Donovan is going to help the Jazz win games. And I think that's going to be a little bit of a question throughout the whole year, is how you give him as much time as you'd like without having him hurt the ball club with winning. And that's not a criticism of him. That's that most young players don't help you win. That's that actually. And you know, he will make plays with regularity that are elite level NBA plays. He's that good. And then he will make plays that are rookie plays, turning it over, going too fast. That's how it works. So it'll be interesting to see with AB, you know, if he's back and he's right and he matured. Like, he's got to be better than he was before he got hurt, frankly. And I saw a little bit of that. Busted a three or two. He played a very, you know, again, pickup, open gym. I'm just kind of watching, waiting around to go do the interviews with the guys. And, there's some guys that are in that gym that probably aren't NBA players, right? So, and then Favors has gone every day. You know, what happens if Favors is right? And I talked to Derek for a while. I shared the other day about his shooting. I talked to him. I don't know what he weighs, but I would say he looks like he might be down 15 from what he was last year. You know, he got big last year, and you cannot survive in this league and stay healthy at over 270. This is where the stories of Nurkic losing all this weight in Portland are really important for them, because he has not stayed healthy in his career. And he's heavy dude. And if he actually can stay healthy, it can get himself, he was 280 is what he's listed. If he can get himself down to 265, as they're talking about, well, then that's a different player. That's a player that stays healthy. Same thing with DeMarcus. I'm pretty curious about DeMarcus, by the way, because Alvin Gentry, talking to me last year, said to me, there were two things that surprised him about DeMarcus Cousins, and one of them was how bright a player he was, and the second was how out of shape he was. So if DeMarcus Cousins really is suddenly in shape, that to me gets interesting, because I think a huge part of DeMarcus Cousins' whining, complaining, problems, all those kind of things are based on he's tired, he's out of shape, and he doesn't want to get down the floor, and so he's going to argue because he's tired. If he's suddenly in shape, then I think you get a little bit of a different player. There's also some other angles on that. So it'll be interesting. I mean, Derek's shot has looked good. I talked about that the other day. He's moved. There was a period of one pickup game. Again, pickup, but he was clearly the best player on the floor, which is nice to see. He never was that last year. So it's really, really cool. Today's show is we're going to talk to Jonas Jerebko coming up in just a second. Get to know the Swede here for your get to know. The Today's Show is brought to you as well by Murdoch Hyundai. They are celebrating a grand reopening. In other words, they're opening another store in Logan, so they've put all of the stores on a reopening. I've been driving the Tucson recently. I drove the Santa Fe before. I have been blown away by the Hyundai brand on how much you get for your dollar. The Santa Fe, just sweet, man. Like, that is just a sweet car. The one I had, I think, was pretty well loaded up, and it had all the safety elements to it and everything else, and it was stunning what great value you could get for a car that was good. I'm a flat-out fan of the Santa Fe, and I'm actually hoping to try something new coming up so I can tell you a little bit more about it, maybe their new hybrid, maybe one of the others, and so I can give you a little bit more feedback. They've been nice enough to kind of let me trade out along the way, and it's really been cool. The Santa Fe, I would strongly suggest if you're looking at, you know, if you're looking at the Lexus or the Acura MDX or the Honda Pilot or the, any of those, any of the Ford and Chevy kind of, I would put the Santa Fe on your list if you're looking for something that's a little less expensive than the Tucson SUV, right up your alley there. Plus, you get that incredible Hyundai 100,000-mile, 10-year Hyundai assurance. All right, so let's do it. Let's start our get-to-know with our new 6-foot, 9'10". By the way, Jerebko, 40% three-point shooting since his third year in the league. He's got a new 17-month-old child. Excited to be here. Seems like a really nice, delightful young man. Look forward to talking with him more over the year. And here is our get-to-know interview.
Now let's get to know Jonas Jerebko a little bit. Yeah. Take me back to your hometown.
Yeah.
What would you show me? What would I see?
What I would show you was my old school, my old gym, where I grew up. and that would kind of be it. I come from a small town in Sweden, played sports my whole life. Just small town boy.
How small?
How many people live in Kenai? I have no idea. 20,000 maybe? So it's pretty small.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have a younger sister. She was also a basketball player. She's got two kids now. She's 2 years younger than me. And I have my mom and dad still living in Sweden. And my whole mom's side is a resident in Sweden. And my dad's side is from Buffalo, New York.
Take me back to your childhood room. What would it look like?
It would have some probably posters of like Peter Forsberg and maybe Matt Sundin, Nick Lidstrom. There's a lot of hockey growing up in Sweden. Every time you put on the TV or watch sports, it was hockey. It was us winning the World Cup or the Olympics and stuff like that. So hockey was a big part of my life growing up. You know, coming from Sweden, basketball is not huge, so I didn't get a lot of basketball. The only basketball I got was when I myself went to the gym and just put my work in.
Did you have someone you were trying to be when you were that, like, who was, when you were in that gym by yourself or with the guys playing, who were you emulating as a kid?
I had local teams that was in the highest division in Sweden. I had a local guy who's a friend of mine now who played in France. His name was Jonas Larsson. He was from my hometown. So he was kind of an idol growing up. You know, he was playing in Europe. He was making money playing basketball. So I looked up to him. And when I got older, 15, 16, the NBA started coming a little bit. And I had, obviously, AK-47 here with the Jazz, who was a big, big idol of mine.
Worst chore you ever had as a kid?
Worst chore... It was, you know, we got a lot of snow in Sweden, so when you had to go out and, you know, shovel the driveway when it was cold and rainy and snowing outside, that was probably the chores that sucked the most.
Yeah, what was your first nickname you were ever given?
My first nickname I was ever given, in school, they called me, Goofy sometimes because I was so tall and skinny, so I would say Goofy was... probably the nickname that I didn't like, but it was probably the first one.
Why do you wear the uniform number you wear?
Because all my numbers have always been taken, so I asked my wife what her favorite number was, and it was 8, and ever since then I've been going with that. But all my favorite numbers have always been taken.
And what were they?
11, 21, Peter Forsberg, 13, Sundin, I've been trying to... 4 has always been a favorite number of mine, so I've never been able to pick my own number.
When you have downtime, which you have a lot in this life, what's your favorite things to do?
Spend time with my daughter now. Spend time with my wife. Obviously, we're on the road a lot, but I do like to be outdoors. I got two dogs. I like to go for hikes. Like to take them out for walks. I like to go fishing. Golfing when I have time, and I do own an esports team too, so I'm trying to spend some time working on that and making that better.
Interesting. What is your guilty pleasure?
Swedish candy. I mean, we got IKEA 30 minutes away, and I was there 2 days ago, and I already crushed my bag that I bought there, so I'd say Swedish candy is my weakness.
What's your favorite road restaurant?
Favorite road restaurant is the one in Phoenix. What's it called? True Foods in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah,
it's
right.
My favorite spot to go to is True Foods.
Do you wear all your Jazz gear, your team gear when you walk across, or do you change?
Depends on... If I'm going by myself, I kind of don't care. But if I'm going with teammates, I try to not have some Jazz stuff because I don't want to get bothered.
Yeah, it's 6'10". What is the most memorable moment of your career?
My most memorable moment? I have a few. I don't know if I can pick one. I mean, being drafted to the NBA was huge. And then going to the Eastern Conference Finals. But then, you know, being able to sign my contract with Detroit Pistons, being able to sign my contract with the Boston Celtics, being able to sign my contract with the Utah Jazz. I mean, you have to pick... pick of I have so many great things and that I have accomplished so far that I can't really pick one. I'm proud of every team I played for, and it's a dream come true every time I get to put the jersey on. So I really, really can't pick one.
Do you have a shot that, like, one shot from any point along the way that flashes into your brain more than any other?
I mean, last was, you know, in Cleveland, when we played Cleveland in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I had that game-winning shot. So that's the, in recent memory, that's the one I'm thinking about right now.
All right, let's go into the grit concept here for a second. What made you believe you could make it?
I've never played against a player growing up that I thought was better than me. I always thought that I could be as good as him or better, and that's the mindset that I've always had. And I think that took me to where I am because, you know, I was playing in Sweden, and I was going to finish high school, and there was professional contracts, you know, being offered, and there was colleges calling me, and that's when I realized that I might be pretty good at basketball, and I might be able to do this. So I think I realized that 17, 18 years old in high school that I'm like, okay, I can do something here. And then obviously the NBA has always been my goal. It was kind of a dream at first, but then when you got all the offers from college and being going pro, you kind of, I might be able to do this. And like I said, I always believed in myself, and I've never played against a player growing up that I thought was better than me or that I couldn't be better than with work.
When you kind of think back on the journey, what did you do differently than other kids? What did you maybe bypass that lose out on? What separated you?
I mean, just like any kid, when you're in high school or whatever you're doing, you know, you're Monday through Friday, you're going to school, and then when the weekend comes, you like to go and hang out with your friends. You like to maybe go to parties. You know. For me, it was Monday basketball, Tuesday basketball, Wednesday basketball, Thursday basketball, Friday basketball, and then the weekends was the fun because that was the games. So you'd find me sitting at home playing some video games or something, getting ready for the game the next day. I passed up a lot of nights of going out or, you know, going to parties or having fun with my friends. And instead, I'm like, I got a game. You can come and play some video games with me or something like that. I think that's the sacrifices you made growing up. And then obviously when you turn pro, you move away from home, you move away from friends and that kind of stuff. You sacrifice a lot, but, you know, I've always wanted to play with the best players in the world, and you can't do that in Sweden.
In the book Talent Code, they talk about acute practice or deliberate practice, that you're doing something, not just a regular practice, but it's got a fine-tooth kind of detail to it. If I say that to you, does anything come to mind of how you've worked on your game in that kind of unique manner?
Yes, because every time you step on that court, especially in the NBA, you just got to be ready to play. And even in practice, like, there's so many players out there that want to come take your spot that every day you're out on that court or when you're coming into practice or whatever it is, you're somebody's going to see you and see the work you put in. And like I said, it's so many players out there putting the work in and trying to take your spot that you're always going to stay on top. You always got to stay on top of your game. You always got to try to get better. You always got to be a good teammate because, like I said, there's millions and millions of players want to take your spot.
The word perseverance or persistence is kind of a key. What would be your, when you hear those, what comes to mind for you about persistence or perseverance?
What comes to mind is when I tore my Achilles my second year, I never doubted myself or like, you know, you can always read into what people say after something like that happens. It's career-ending injury and stuff like that. But for me, it's like, okay, well, how long is it going to take to rehab? When am I going to be back? That's all I could think about. Like, I only went day by day. I couldn't, because they were so far. I mean, I didn't play for 16 months. So like I just took it day by day. It's like, today I'm gonna learn how to walk. Today I'm gonna learn how to run. Or you know, like you had to take it day by day, and it took a long, long time. But luckily it was in the off season. I missed the whole season, and then I had a whole summer. And there was a lockout that year, so it gave me like 2-3 extra more months to just take it careful and really take the steps that needed to be taken. And I was lucky to have a trainer by my side at all times, Arnie Kander, that really held me back. Because if he didn't hold me back, I mean, I probably would have played after 12 months, and I didn't play after 16, 18 months. So having that guy there and just helping you get through an horrific injury like that, it takes a lot of perseverance.
How do you overcome the doubt?
I never doubted myself or my ability. And especially with the injury like that, I knew I was going to be out for the season. So it's like I didn't even think about my next game. I just thought about how am I going to get back? Like how am I going to get back on the court being better than I was before? I never doubted that I was going to play in the NBA again, like, or anything like that. I knew it's going to take time. I'm going to go day by day, but I'm going to get there.
In the book Grit, they talk about to do anything really well, you have to overextend yourself, doing something over and over that is unnatural until it becomes natural.
Yeah.
What comes to mind?
It's the same thing with the injury and like learning how, like I said, to walk again, you know, coming out that cast, you just got to take it baby steps. And that's one of the hardest things to do, because you feel like you can do so much more. You want to go out and shoot the first day, but you can't. So just stay in your lane and taking it slow. It's what really got me back.
Into the game again, another quote: superlative performance is really a confluence of a dozen small skills, each learned, which have been drilled into a habit. From a basketball standpoint, when you hear that small skills drilled, what does that mean? What does that say to you?
It's the little things. You know, all the hours that I have put in the gym, that if I go back and watch games from last season, I'll see moves that I have done a million times in the gym. But you got to start somewhere, and, you know, you got to start working on your game and working on new things in the gym. And after thousands and thousands of repetitions, you might get a couple of them in the game. And that's what I think about.
What makes you come back to the gym every day?
The love of the game. I think just, I love playing basketball. And I think it's just a competitive nature. I'm a very competitive guy when it comes to anything. I hate to lose. The only one I can let win is my daughter. She's the only one I would let win. Like, I'm a very competitive person, and just to get back in the gym, I love basketball. It's still fun. It's the most fun I have. So just to get back in that gym and just compete against the best players in the world, that's why I come back.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
So that is Jonas Jerebko. That is the first of your Get to Know. Today's show was brought to you by Grip 6. Grip 6 started in the garage of BJ Minson. He's the inventor of Grip 6, and now they're manufacturing all their belts in the U.S. domestically, and want you to check it out. Grip6.com, LOCK20 will get you 20% off. Grip6.com, LOCK20 will get you 20% off. And Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Go by, say hi to Blake and the crew for me there. If you'd like to advertise on Locked On Jazz, you can do so. Email me at dlock09@gmail.com. That's dlock09@gmail.com. I hope you enjoyed this show as much as I thought you would. It is the beginning of the Get to Know series. We'll be doing it all next week as well. Tell your friends. 5-star reviews are great, but make sure you tell your friends about the show and have them be a part of it. Jazz season's right around the corner, and we're firing you up. This has been Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.